Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Bree, Aki, and Jacob. How are you three doing today?
I had to review a game for this episode. I got to play it last night. And I mean, obviously you'll hear all about it, but I swear to God, like 24 hours later, it still feels like this weird fever dream. Like, I'm not sure that I actually like.
Was
I
that know because I you were it. Really high?
No, it's because it's
no.
A notoriously awful game.
I'm excited to hear all about it.
Oh God!
Well, it won't be anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was gonna say
we got Bree, other shit we got to do.
You'd have to stick around for the whole episode, probably.
I know.
Yeah, I got that slated.
But I'll
last.
Listen later.
Save the best for the last.
Hey, Joe, did you hear that? She's going to listen later, so she's our someone.
Yay. Bree, how does it feel to be someone?
Hey, I brought other someones to the show, too, that listened.
You did.
So
and it's
how
awesome
many friends did you lose because you did that?
No. I had
well,
a friend.
She's now a regular on here, so.
Hear about Skull and Bones, and he listened to the whole podcast, and
I'm sorry.
I know, right? Like he actually listened to the whole thing.
Oh dear!
And then he never came back.
He still talked to me the next day. We're good.
Oh, I'm shocked.
And you never mentioned the episode again. Remember that time you made me listen to a podcast? No, we don't talk about that.
Oh.
I'm doing pretty good though.
You have
house
a whole shitload of gunpla, don't you?
Oh God, so many. That's not even all of it. I have another 3 boxes coming this month.
Good God.
Wow.
No, 4 as of today.
Wait, hold on. Is that 4 separate like model kits or
no.
Is that 4
boxes full of
boxes?
Model kits?
4 boxes full of model kits. I think the smallest box has 2 kits in it.
Jesus.
And I think the largest has like 8.
Good God.
Yeah, I have a problem. But it's not just that even. My house is being worked on. So
again?
Again. Remember last year when all the shit went wrong with my house all at once mm-hmm. and it fucked me really hard?
So now we're having with Aki's house going to shit part 2 boogaloo?
No, actually. It's being fixed up. The places I called to try and get my furnace and air conditioner through, I got that obviously last year. But the other group that I contacted does weatherization. In other words, they make your whole house just to where not even the slightest breeze gets through and makes it really good and stuff. Well, it turns out my entire house didn't have not a single speck of insulation in any of the walls.
That's not
you ate
good.
What? You ate all the forbidden cotton candy, didn't you?
Yes, totally.
That's why your stomach itches, Aki.
The house was built almost 100 years ago, and it hasn't probably had insulation in it since then.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, so they went into the basement and they did some finagling with my new furnace to get extra air to it from outside so it would work better. They went into the ceiling of the basement and made it to where no air would go between my house and the basement, and now they're as of today, they started blowing in insulation. I think they got almost half the house done today. They fixed some fixtures in my house. Like, there, one of my lights was dangling carelessly out of the, I don't know, out of the ceiling.
Jacob, she said dangle.
Yeah. so was a fire alarm. So they fixed both of those for me.
Yeah, working fire alarms are a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Smoke detectors, A+.
Yeah. Do you own this house or do you rent?
I own it.
And you just have fire alarms just dangling from your ceiling?
Yes.
That...
My ceilings are like 14 foot tall. I don't do heights. I can take about 2 steps up a step stool and then I can't go further.
That's fair.
You're not 12 feet tall like the rest of us?
We have high ceilings in my house.
I have no... Both of you talked at the same time. I'm sorry, what?
I said I have high ceilings in my house. And then Jacob said the same thing that he just said now. And we talked over each other again. So.
Yeah, we did. That was
funny. Can I complain about my life?
Yes.
Yes. Please.
Your turn.
I have to drive to a different state 8 hours back and forth tomorrow to write 3 checks because that's the nearest bank to me. Yay. Wow.
8 hours away is what? The closest bank? No.
Not 8 hours. It's 8 hours total there and back. So it's like the bank is like 2 hours away is the nearest branch, but I have to run another errand while I'm there in the other state. So yeah, it's going to be like 8 hours of driving tomorrow so that I can get 3 checks written and drop off a box. So,
hold it the fuck up. I work in banking. What the why the fuck do you have to write 3 check? Wait, I'm sorry, because this might actually be a personal matter.
Yeah.
Short answer is it's complicated and it has to do with an estate. So I have to drive to the bank and get the checks written.
You can't overnight that or
no. Oh, I just have to drive to the bank. Yeah.
And now I understand.
I'm guessing if she paid to overnight something, she would have to run it herself at that point.
Yeah. Well, then I have to mail them to yet another state and then I have to wait for more papers. You know, like this process is terrible and I hate it and I'm glad it's almost over.
I don't get why they wouldn't be able to just accept an ACH push.
You know, I don't know anything about that, but you know,
I think we can all agree it's total
bullshit.
There, yes. I got my sound.
Agreed. There
day.
You go.
I would say so, but I stopped understanding the conversation. So I don't know what the fuck Jacob was just talking about. That meant nothing to me.
Talk.
All I understand was it had something to do with a bank, and that was it.
Yeah.
So you know what else happened this week? What do you want,
are we
Jacob?
About to discuss news?
Yes.
Okay.
That was my segue.
Oh, I was about to suggest that maybe you blew a goat or something.
I did not blow any goats this week. No.
Oh, that Jacob, was the last you? Week. Okay.
No greatest of all times in my black book.
Yeah, Jacob's goats are next week. Fine.
Bloats. The Xbox partner preview was this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was. It definitely was.
That was a lot of excitement about the partner preview.
I am really tired.
Week,
so Jacob missed like it.
It was kind of like they announced it and like 2 days before it happened, and then they did it, and then it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really short.
It was only a half hour long. There were only like a dozen things shown, trailers. There were no like super long deep dives. There was a lot from 11-bit studios.
Yeah.
I kept seeing their company pop up through the show. Did anyone take good notes for the show? Because I had our DoorDash show up like right when the event went live and I didn't take notes.
I watched it, but I didn't have the ability to take notes because I was on my phone.
I only took notes on the games that I want. So.
All right. So they started off with Unknown 9 Awakening.
Yeah. I don't know what that game's going to be. I remember the original trailer for it like a year or two ago, maybe even longer than that, and which was completely different. So I have absolutely no idea what the fuck kind of game this is, but I kind of want it anyways.
It looks interesting. I could say that. I can't say much more because I don't know much more.
Yeah. I remember the original trailer showed like some kids chasing a young girl to beat her up, and then time suddenly froze and she got up and ran away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then this trailer existed and it has absolutely nothing in common with the other one. So I have no idea if it's changed or if that's just two different sections. I don't know what I'm looking at with this game.
Yeah.
But just that original premise made me want it in the first place. So I'm still like, I'll play this if when it comes out, I will happily play this.
We know you will.
Yeah.
You'll play like this entire show.
About half of it. Yeah.
I know you want the next one, Sleight of Hand.
Yes.
That one looks kind of cool.
It's a stealth game.
Coming next year and will hit Game Pass.
Oh. It's a game. I must have it. I must have it. And she's
why?
Cute. It's a stealth game and she's cute.
Yeah, I guess that's good enough. The Alters from 11-Bit Studios was shown. It does not have a release date.
I don't remember The Alters.
That's one I've been following for a little while, and seeing the trailer made me less interested because it looks like it's a lot of management.
Yeah.
But the concept was kind of interesting, where he gets stranded on a planet and finds this new element or something that enables him to copy himself based on branches of his life choices, which I think is a really cool concept. But the management aspect of it seems a little less, but I think that one's also coming to Game Pass, so it might be worth a try.
Yeah, that one I don't think's for me, specifically because of the management and half the, because it seems like there's going to be a lot of interpersonal issues between the Alters, and I'm just like, I'm not really there for that part.
But
the concept of walking around like this alien planet and stuff, that seems like that'd be fun. I want that part. I don't want any of the rest of it.
Yeah. So I'll keep an eye on that one.
No release date. So we'll just have to keep our eyes open. After that was Creatures of Ava from 11-Bit Studios. Well, there you go. Aki wants it. Aki, what's one?
You go around and you play a flute as a cute lady, and you play the flute, and you basically are being the Pied Piper for just the beasts of this world and getting them to do stuff. And yes, that's adorable. Yes, I want that. It reminded me of
Pokemon Snap at one point, because it was like showing that you could like move them into places and then take pictures of them. And I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah,
I heard some people throw out comparisons to Pal World and Pokemon.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe, we'll see.
I mean, you do get to control them and make them do things, so I guess I can kind of see the Pal World part of that.
Yeah.
I'll
say now, they immediately lost me with the next bit. Roblox getting a Chucky game.
Yep.
Was up with that? That was so weird.
Limited time, apparently, as well.
Gee.
So it's not a permanent game. It's just a limited time event going on now in Roblox with Chucky. Yeah. Like, isn't Roblox supposed to be like aimed at children? What the fuck is Chucky doing there?
Yeah. Yeah. That was my first thought too.
Yeah, Chucky is not an adorable child's doll.
Well,
it is a murdering machine.
We don't know who the fuck he is. There hasn't been a new Chucky movie in
there's a TV show.
Yeah.
There's a show?
Yeah, they've had a few seasons of it on USA and Sci-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah. And it's not for kids.
I would hope the fuck not.
Yeah, definitely not for kids.
It embraces its TVMA rating. But after that, The Sinking City 2 is coming next year.
That looks so good. I loved the first one. I must have this.
I still have not played the first one.
You haven't?
No, I have it. It's on my list. Yeah, I like the Frogwares games. So I'm very, but it looks really good. I knew what it was like from the moment they said Frogwares, and I saw like crazy stuff, and I was like, this is Sinking City 2. And I'm like, yes.
You know, in some of the Sherlock games where he pieces together what happens and it shows like the outlines of people moving around and stuff.
Yeah.
That's all the investigation in Sinking City 1. All of them are like that.
Nice.
And it has mediocre third person shooting. Admittedly, that's very hard at the beginning, but once you get ammo, you're mm-hmm. good. It's just kind of a pain in the ass to get ammo at first. Gotcha. But once you got it, oh man, it becomes a cakewalk and it is so fun. It is such a good game. You have got to play it.
Yeah, definitely will.
Oh, if that's not your speed, maybe the next game is Final Fantasy 14 officially releasing on Xbox March 21st. I guess they will have their character transfer and import features all good to go by then.
Nice.
My birthday's the 18th, so you could get me some time cards for my birthday.
I am okay. Very happy for those of you who will enjoy that game. I'm out.
Well, there is a free trial that you could play.
Yeah,
I might try that. And it's actually a pretty good free trial from what I understand.
Massive
I
think free
it's still
trial.
Like level 25 or 50 or something.
70.
Set Jesus.
And you get the first two full expansions.
Wow.
You get access to it. There is something to keep in mind, though. They are going to be doing a Game Pass perk. If you redeem that perk, which gives you access to everything in the game, it doesn't gate off any of the social features like the free trial does. If you use that Game Pass perk, you must subscribe from then on. Which is what I think they're trying to trick people into doing, is giving up their free trial by getting a Game Pass perk for a month. Yeah, so if you want to keep your free trial, don't get that Game Pass perk. Or at least wait until we find out what the full story is with it. Because I can make use of it because I can't make use of the free trial. I already subscribed once, and once you do that, you're locked out of the free trial.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So enjoy your free trial for as long as you can. Make use of it. Play it for months if you want. Never subscribe if you don't want to. You don't get a lot of social features in the game. You're limited on how much money you can carry. There's some other stuff like that. But it's still a lot of fun that you could get for free.
Yeah, I know a number of people who play it semi-religiously at this point, and they're always talking about it, and they love it. I say try it out, folks.
I'm eager to get back into it and give it another go once it hits Xbox officially. I'll probably pick up a 60-day or 90-day card, whatever they sell now, and play it for a few days and then forget about it, because that's what I always do.
I might pick up the free trial on the PC and try it out, just because I know so many people who play it, and they're always talking such high praises for it. So I might try it. MMOs just have never really been my thing.
Try it on your Xbox.
Free trial.
It's on Xbox.
Oh, I thought you had to subscribe if it
no,
was on
Xbox. No, you can get the free beta right now. Create a character and play free right now.
Okay.
Like, download it during the show if you want.
Wait, so
I'm currently
right
downloading my games for next week.
Yes, Jacob, right fucking now.
What so
open
now?
Up Final Fantasy 14 right now on your Xbox and start playing.
Nah, I'm too far away.
I know. Three Stalker games just released on Xbox today. The first three. They're $19.99 each. Get the trilogy for $40.
I might do that.
Yeah, first three of them. Just boom, here you go. They're out.
Yeah,
have fun.
For everyone who's thinking about this, because you're like, oh, I like Metro. This is not Metro. Do not go into this being like, oh, this looks like it should be like Metro. No, it's nothing like Metro. This game will make you cry tears of blood, and you're going to hate your life, and I'm going to laugh because it is fantastic.
Because it's difficult or hard?
Oh, it is what? So insanely difficult.
Is there an easy mode?
It's not so much that other things will kill you easily, though that is true. There's also, like, throughout these games, there's these weird radiation effects that have basically caused everything that we know, all physics, to go haywire. So there are areas, and they're completely invisible, that you can walk into and then just be flung hundreds of feet through the air and die, or other areas where you walk into and you just kill over because suddenly radiation went from zero to a lethal dose in less than a quarter of a second.
That sounds like glitches.
No. This is a feature of the game. And you can throw, I think it's shell casings or something in front of you, because when they hit these areas, it reacts, so you know where these areas are, more or less. But if you enter them, you're going to die, generally. And they're just really hard, partly because of that, and partly because it is not forgiving. Their games are not forgiving. They're fantastic. They're so great. They're bastards, though. Those games are bastards. I love them.
No, there's three of them. You could play them.
Yeah.
Good shit. Yeah.
I might get them. I have them on Steam. I might get them on Xbox. I'm not sure.
Well, again, they're $20 each, or get the trilogy for $40. After that, Monster Jam Showdown. Yes, they showed off a Monster Jam game during a partner like, I didn't expect that one. Looks fun. It'd be entertaining. Maybe.
Yeah.
Monster Jam games are usually like mindless fun, so.
Okay. I've never played a Monster Jam game that I know of, so.
Yeah, Jacob, you excited for more Monster Jam?
Yeah. I was rather, I know, like, you're chatting them up, but, like, wait, did I review Monster Jam games, or were they Truck?
They're probably Monster Jam.
I don't, damn it, I wish my Xbox wasn't controlling.
They were probably both of them. The Monster Jam ones are the more arcadey ones. The Monster Truck Simulator ones
were
the really
hard
ones.
Which one was the Steel Titans thing?
I don't remember. There's too many games.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to look them up now.
Anyway.
I remember the Steel Titans thing. Like, yeah, that was Monster Jam.
Monster Jam.
So. But then again, I think I also had to review, like, Monster Truck Simulator or something like that, and that game sucked ass, but so do like 90% of games that have simulator in the title. So,
Monster Jam. Persona 3 Reload expansion pass is coming March 12th. Get this, it's going to be a Game Pass perk for Ultimate members. The whole fucking expansion pass. Freebie.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
For what?
For Persona 3 Reload. The expansion pass is going to be a Game Pass perk.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that, like, the expansion was going to be part of Game Pass, but no, they're just giving it away as a perk. So if you stop subscribing, you still own it, because you got it as a perk. That's cool as shit. Hey, that's like usually like a $40, $50 expansion pass. Free.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's brand new. Hell yeah. Tales of Kanzera Zao is coming out April 23rd. That one looks fantastic.
I love the visuals for that one, but I really don't think that'd be a game for me. Just looking at the platforming of that, I think I'd probably get stuck in the first fucking level.
Me too.
But I love the art so much, though. It looks so gorgeous.
It does. Only going to be like $20.
I might get it anyways.
Yeah.
The voice acting was really good, too, from what we saw in the trailer anyways. So
I think it's 10% off with pre-orders, too.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, good shit. Let me see. Tales of Kanzera Zao. Load up on the website. Yeah, $20. $17.99 on sale for pre-orders. Get very some nice pre-order content, skills, and other fun shit. After that, more 11-bit studios with Frostpunk 2 getting announced will be hitting PC Game Pass on July 25th.
All right.
Well, it exists.
And finally,
it wasn't for me.
Final game that they talked about on the partner preview was Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess from Capcom, and they confirmed it'll be out this year.
I want that.
That game was such a trip to watch, like the trailer. What? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird
beautiful
one.
It's beautiful, and it reminds me of Shintoism, and I really want to consume it so badly.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So yeah, what'd you think of the partner preview?
I have a lot of really good stuff in it.
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was good, but it wasn't memorable.
Yeah.
Like, nothing really blew my socks off. They could have been like, hey, Pixel Remasters, here they are, finally. When they were talking
you're
about
never going to get it. Just give up.
Shut your face,
never
Aki.
Giving up. Never
I will
giving
never
up.
Give up. That and Mega Man Battle Network, I want them both on Xbox.
And they'll never happen.
Shut
just
up.
Like, I'll never get
shut
my
up.
Finals.
Jacob, tell her to shut up. You're good at telling her to shut up.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. The whole time you guys were talking about that, I was just thinking of Rick Astley the whole time. And so, yeah, you get that.
I know you think of him frequently.
More than I feel like, you know how, you know, those internet, like that internet meme where people are like, how often do men think about the Roman Empire? I'm not going to lie. Rick, I feel like Rick Astley pops up in my head more than the average American male. I don't know what to do with that information, but I feel like that's actually the case.
I am making a note of this.
I mean,
let's talk Game Pass.
He's a good looking dude. I mean, what are you going to say? And he's got a nice deep voice. What's not to like?
All of it.
Nothing, all right. Really. Well, Aki, yeah. All right, because the only guy you have hots for is Hugh Jackman. So,
I mean,
which is it's fair. Hugh
Jackman. That is fair.
It's fair.
That is fair.
It is fair.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Also fair.
Yeah.
Also fair. Yep. Yeah.
Their movie's gonna be so good. Anyway, Game Pass. Oh,
I can't wait.
A couple of games coming to Game Pass this month. March 5th, we got Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun. That was announced last batch, but a refresher that we got it this week. Another nice, game we got that. This week, Paw Patrol World, bitches.
Yeah.
So, Jacob, should I try that one?
Yeah. I think both Joe and I gave it a glowing review. Like,
easy to 100%? It's
a longer one.
Yeah, it's a longer one.
But it's not hard.
No, but it feels weird, like, you know, being 39 and being, and like, non-ironically able to say it is the penultimate game in the Paw Patrol franchise, like, yeah. And be completely friggin' serious about it too. It's way better than you'd expect. I mean, it's still very much a game aimed at 5-year olds, but it's pretty good for a game aimed at 5-year olds.
Yeah. All right, I'll load it up this weekend then.
And if that's not good enough, March 12th, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated.
Woot.
So the kids are getting taken care of this month. If that's not your speed, March 13th, Control Ultimate Edition hitting Game Pass.
Fuck yeah. Everyone go play that. That is a fantastic fucking game.
And if that's not your speed, let's shift it up again. No More Heroes 3 on March 14th.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to play one of those.
I would love if this leads to 1 and 2 coming to Xbox.
I don't know.
Is 3 worth playing?
If you like No More Heroes, yeah.
I have no idea. I've never played a No More Heroes game.
Well, you should play it. It's good.
Okay. I guess
it's not the best. It has flaws, but if it like clicks with what you're expecting the game to be, it's a blast.
I expect it to be batshit insane.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if those aren't your speed, let's get even weirder with Lightyear Frontier Day 1 game preview game on Series coming March 19th.
I don't know anything about that one.
Like a light year sim frontier simulator life.
I'm not going to lie. When that game was first announced,
Buzz Lightyear game.
Yeah. I was legitimately disappointed that it was not like a Buzz Lightyear themed video game.
Yeah. I totally thought it was.
And then Buzz Lightyear related. Stopped paying attention to whatever it is. So like, I don't even know what the frick kind of game it is. I just know it's sci-fi and not related to Buzz Lightyear.
I'll have to think on that one then.
Well, if that's not your speed.
Jesus, how many fucking games are coming out? Holy shit.
One more on March 19th. MLB The Show 24.
Nah.
Fourth year in a row, we're getting PlayStation Studios baseball game on Game Pass.
Enjoy.
It doesn't get less funny every year. Like, whatever deal Xbox worked out with Major League Baseball is incredible that we get a PlayStation game on Game Pass and they don't get it on PlayStation Plus. Like, what the hell, Sony? Give it to them, too. Oh, man. So yeah, games gotta leave Game Pass when
they really don't.
Middle of the month comes around. Three of them are departing on the 15th. Hard Space Shipbreaker, Shredders, and this one's sad, Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch.
Yeah, I never got around to playing that one, so it's one that I'll just wait for a good sale, and maybe I'll get into it then.
Same.
Baldur's Gate 3 Physical Edition for the Xbox has been upgraded, will now be a 4-disc game. They were apparently 500 meg over the limit for 3 discs and didn't want to cut content.
Damn. Right.
Yeah.
So, Baldur's Gate 3 Xbox Series Edition Physical will have 4 discs.
It's been a while since we've had that. Just because it's a 4-disc game.
Yeah.
It's cool. It'll be fully installable offline. You won't need to connect on. For the people who don't have good internet, this is perfect for them. It'll take forever to install off disk, but you don't need to connect online. It is the full game on disk.
Fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And for everyone who decides to go and try it, Romance Carlack, just fucking trust me, do it. Romancer, you will not regret it. If you choose anyone else, you very well might. Just do what I say.
Okay.
Something I think Aki's going to do is test out her PC May 16th with Ghosts of Tsushima.
Yes.
Director's Cut hitting PC.
Yes. The moment I saw that, I was like, oh my God, yes.
I'm sorry, could you do that again? Oh my God,
That's a game I've been, wanting to play for a long time now, so...
Well, now you get to try it on PC.
Yeah.
She's going to try it with arms wide open.
What the fuck is with you and music today?
I'm a little baked.
A little?
Sure, a little. Yeah,
Something you won't be playing on PC anymore is the Switch emulator Yuzu. It has been shut down after a lawsuit from Nintendo. They will pay $2.4 million in damages. And the project has been taken down. There are apparently 2 new emulators that have sprung up from the ashes. I forget their names, but it's like Suzu and Huzu or something like that. Basically, Yuzu clones. So we'll see how long they last.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo!
I love emulation for old stuff. Don't emulate new stuff. Buy and support new stuff.
Yes.
Everyone who bought Yuzu bought it to pirate Switch games. We know what you did. There's like a dozen people in the world who bought it for legit purposes.
And you know, it probably didn't help the situation at all that people kept going to Nintendo and dictating they were going to pirate it with Yuzu.
Yeah. Or the fact that they would hide updates behind their Patreon like that. You're making people pay for piracy? That's the no-no.
Yeah.
Temtem is going to stop receiving major updates later this year, and monetization will be removed with a patch.
Cool, I think.
Yeah. Now let's get to the bad news.
Oh, no.
Spearhead Games is laying off the majority of its staff and effectively closing down. They are known for Omen Sight, the upcoming CRPG Unforetold Witchstone, and a game I loved, Stories, The Path of Destinies.
I really liked both Stories and Omen Sight. That's a shame. Aren't they, like, getting rid of 80% of their staff?
I think they're closing down to just one person.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, one or two people. Maybe a small... No, the next one is one person. Taurus Games, Australian studio Taurus Games, is effectively shutting down after 30 years. The studio has laid off the entire dev team and is now a one-person company that will act as a business in the event that funding comes along for a new project. They most recently worked on games like Hotel Transylvania 3, Ben 10, Paw Patrol on a Roll, World War Z, Matchpoint Tennis, and Lego 2K Drive.
Oh, dang.
Why are they closing? They worked on some decent games.
Money.
Jeez.
No funding. If they don't have funding, they can't pay people.
That sucks. Yeah.
One more. Rooster Teeth has been shut down by WB Discovery. Approximately 150 full-time employees are out of work, in addition to dozens of contractors and content creators. Rooster Teeth, known for Red versus Blue for a long, long time, they are gone.
This doesn't shock me, but it still really sucks because I really liked a lot of the animated content they've been producing for years.
Yeah.
And the thing that surprises me with that is that it's just like they just released like that Justice League versus RWBY Ruby. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Ruby. Yes, Ruby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Justice League versus Ruby movie. I think it was last year. Like, I really hate the direction Warner Brothers is taking.
I don't feel like they're taking a direction. I feel like they don't know what the fuck they're doing because they keep doing stuff and then stopping in the middle of it or near the end of it and then just going off in a different direction. It's like a fucking chicken with its goddamn head cut off. I don't know what the fuck WB is doing at all.
They apparently also WB delisted the game Small Radios Big Television by Adult Swim Games.
That was a PC and PS4 game.
Yeah.
Reportedly, it was being given away for free by the dev. I don't know where, because I checked both the PlayStation and Steam stores.
I think it's on their own website. I don't think they're giving it away officially. Like, it's...
Oh.
Here's the files. Have fun, kids.
Gotcha.
WB also make a statement this week saying that they're going to focus on, like, games as service, mobile... Free to play stuff too.
Yeah, so, they're doubling down on live service, despite the fact that
Suicide Squad
Kill the Justice League did not meet their expectations.
Yeah.
Have we had a successful live service game in over a year? That answers that question.
Trying to think of any live what live service games Helldivers. Do I even freaking play?
Helldivers is blowing up, literally.
Is that a live service game?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, so there might be one success story out of, like, 50.
Thimber says Destiny 2 is still going strong. That's not a new one, though.
Yeah, that's...
That's been around.
That's Fortnite, one of the few that succeeded a while ago.
Anyway, what news do y'alls have? Bree, let's start with you. What kind of news do you
got? Yeah, I've got a couple things. I had one more studio closure. Eggnut Studios, makers of Tales Noir, previously known as Backbone, has shut down operations. They will not be able to finish their latest game due to complications with funding. And what they've decided to do with the rest of their budget is pay their, I think there was like 15 people in the studio, pay them as much as they can while they look for new work.
Well, so, good on them for that, taking care of their employees, but that sucks. That was a good game.
Yeah.
When did they change its name?
It changed sometime in the last year. I don't remember why, other than I think that there is a second Tales Noir game already out on PC, but we will probably never see it on console now. So,
Okay.
Yeah, they were trying to make a trilogy, it sounds like, and they will not be able to.
That's a shame.
Has anybody
was a good game.
Good news, maybe. Has anybody seen the new Fallout trailer?
Yes, it looked really good.
It looks so good. They announced officially that all episodes will be available on April 11th on Prime Video,
which
I'm pretty excited. I can binge watch that when I get the access to Prime Video. Might take me a little bit extra time, but I'm looking forward to binge watching that. I love some of the actors in there. So, yeah.
I don't know if I know any of the actors, but that trailer was fucking amazing.
Yeah, the trailer was so good.
It looked like everything I want
the show to be. Yeah, it just dropped earlier today, so. And then my other bit of news is Sea of Thieves related. They're going to be rolling out Epic's Easy Anti-Cheat as part of their new anti-cheating methodology. They're looking into some other stuff for the future, but they're going to start with Epic's Anti-Cheat starting this month. So I'm kind of excited to see how that works. And of course, because they're launching, I think April 20th is or about there is when they're going to be hitting PlayStation. So they're making sure to get that rolled out and working.
It still blows my mind that Sea of Thieves is hitting PlayStation. Like, of all the games Microsoft was going to do, like, Rare has never worked on a PlayStation game. Ever. Yeah. They had no knowledge of PlayStation, and they got thrown to the wolves. It's like, you're going to be our guinea pig for one of the first games we're doing. So have fun, kids.
I think it's going to be just fine.
I hope it does well. Bring more people to the game.
Yeah, definitely. So. But yeah, that was my news.
Aki, what news have you got?
I don't have any.
Proud of you. Jacob, what about you?
I actually have none either, because you've both discussed all the news.
Yes, that's why I didn't have any news, too.
Yeah, Shut up, Aki. You never have anything news.
Hey, I do, too, sometimes. It's rare, but it happens. Fuck you.
Okay, should we dive into reviews, then? We got a bunch of games to talk about tonight.
Sure.
All right, first game is New Star GP, developed by New Star Games, published by Five Aces Publishing, released March 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. New Star GP is a retro arcade racer that puts you in the driving seat as you take control of your own motorsport team and compete at thrilling and iconic racing circuits around the world from the 80s to the present day. Jacob, tell us about your time with New Star GP.
So New Star GP is a retro racing game, and like, if you're looking at screenshots of it, don't be fooled by, you know, the retro look of it. Like, it may look old, but trust me, this thing operates like a modern racing game. So pretty much it's got the visuals of, like, you know, like the old Sega Daytona game. But honestly, like, it's got a lot of, like, customization and management aspects that you'd expect from one of, like, the F1 or Forza Motorsport games that are out today, which, I'm not going to lie, is I was pleasantly impressed. Because on one hand, if you want to play it like an arcade racer, you totally can. If you want to get into all the nitty-gritty stuff, even better. Like, you're going to have a, like, you're just going to have way more experience with it. And so pretty much the gist of it is that, like, what you're really going after is that, like, career mode kind of thing. Although, honestly, it's just as much of a dynasty thing than anything. And it starts you off in, like, the 1980s, and then you can progress through different time periods. And so it's like, your team, like, will start building relationships. Like, does your mechanic hate you? Does he not? Like, is he, is how your team going to affect how well you drive or how good your car is going to be? And on top of it, you can form rivalries, that, like, you know, like modern racing families and stuff like that. And these will go on for decades. and it's just, I honestly, when I came in here, I thought I was going to be reviewing this, like, bloated arcade racer thing, like I've done plenty of times, that are like, we've got the retro look. No, not at all. Like, the price tag is hefty, but there's a lot of content to deep dive into with this thing. And whether you're just looking for like a simple racer, or whether you want to get into the nitty gritty, like F1 style of just management of literally everything, like, there's a lot to like here.
Well, talk more about the visuals. It has that, that glorious early 3D visual, like you mentioned, from like the Daytona USA days. But it does have more advanced visuals to it. Like, it brings it into the modern age.
Right. Like, as you know, as the game progresses, things are getting better with it. But yeah, it's just, like, even with, like, retro graphics, like, it's just gorgeous to look at. Like, this is really well done. And that's kind of where I was going with some of the Forza comparisons, because, like, honestly, it's just as much of a beauty to, like, to watch people play as it is to play yourself on that game. Yourself. Be quiet. I hate you.
How's the sound in the game? Does it have a soundtrack?
I was having a nice review here, a nice mature review, and then you had to, you know, balls that up. Anyway,
you said I cocked it up.
Yeah, I mean, audio's nice. I'd recommend having headphones on when you play it. But you know, it's really cool just, you know, listening to the other racers, but also like, you know, watching their reactions as you pass them and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't like, honestly, it's just like a, it's just a pretty damn fun game. And I really hope people don't sleep on it, because this is one that, like, as I said, it looks old, but trust me, everything under the hood is modern.
Oh, I'm looking at the achievement list. This one looks like it might be a tough one. Got to get all the cups in career mode.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'm ever going to 1K this thing.
Yeah, there's a good amount of Chivos in this one. Got the full slate of 50 of them for 1,000 points. The game clocks in at $30. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I highly recommend this one. And, you know, I'm the cheap ass one here on this program, and I'm still cool with paying $30 for this game. You're definitely getting a lot of like you get a lot of features for a game that looks like it's going to be simple.
So, yeah, I was kind of surprised when I saw the price point for it. But if you're saying that the content's there to back it up, that was my main concern with this, was that it was just going to be a little shallow. But it sounds like the there's a lot there to play.
Yeah. All
right. Next game is Unables, developed by Arthur Hilger, Nine Uns, and Forever Entertainment, published by Forever Entertainment, releasing March 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $12.99. Unables is all about physics, puzzles, and comedy. Welcome to a world where characters are so lazy, even the players are unable to control them. Take matters into your own hands by controlling the environment instead with innovative gameplay mechanics. Bree and Aki, both of you check this out. Bree, how about you start? What is Unables?
So yeah, the general premise is that all the creatures on Earth are just so lazy, they just can't even like move themselves around at all. And you, kind of like a god, have to shuffle the world around them to like tip them and jump them into things. There's also like a special button. Sometimes you can like fart and propel yourself into stuff. Or there's,
I'm sorry, you know, some, what?
Yeah, in like the very first level, you have some drunk like frat guy or something who's like in his apartment, and you have to give him food, and you have to roll him out of bed into his refrigerator, and then you have to like get him to use the bathroom, so you have to roll him into the bathroom and get him to use the bathroom. And in order to reach some of those things, every once in a while, you can use a special button. Each level has a special function on the left trigger. And in the first level, he farts and it propels himself upward.
Okay. Also, I just want to say I was really confused with your description at first, because you were like, and then you have to roll him into his refrigerator. And I was like, I'm sorry, you're doing what? With him into his refrigerator?
The concept is like, weird. You rotate the world around.
No. I meant like you were shoving a guy in a refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, no. You're just like, rolling him towards the refrigerator.
Okay. Yeah, because once you started saying the other stuff, I was like, oh, she meant really, yeah. But I was just like, all right, so farting and serial killers. This is an interesting mix. Anyways, continue.
So there's two modes to the game. There's an easy mode with no timer, which is really helpful for trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, and you can still get achievements on that. But the real meat of the game is the hard mode, which gives you a 60 second timer, and that allows you to progress. You get stars on each level. If you get all the things, you get 3 stars. And in order to unlock the final level, you need to 3-star all of the other levels before it. There is a narrator, which was probably, you know, one of the more entertaining elements of the game, like quirky humor. There's lots of goofy things if you're playing on easy, so you can actually look at the map and you're not like rushed by the timer. There's lots of like goofy things going on in the background that's pretty fun. But each level has its own rules. And with very little direction or understanding by level 3, I struggled to progress for a while. And I think Aki said she had a similar experience.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out level 3 at all, just period. So I skipped it. And yeah. I only got to, I think I beat level 5, and that was the last one I could beat was world 1, level 5.
So yeah, let me describe what was going on, because I couldn't figure it out at first. You're supposed to be moving, you're always moving some sort of object or person to outlined targets. But in this case, the outlined target was one of the things you needed to find, which was a dead body. And then you move the dead body around the crime scene to pick up clues. But if you unfortunately were moving toward the chalk outline, your character now gets stuck there and you can no longer complete the level. Unless you're doing it on hard, but I eventually figured it out on easy. It took me like a good while. But then because I did it on easy, I could not save my progression. And then I had to go back out and get stars on hard on earlier levels so I could get to future levels. Like there's this progression path you have to do that I'm on hard, which was frustrating. And it's really not clear what you're supposed to do in most of the levels. It's you really have to kind of flop around and figure it out. I died in a pool on a later level. Like I didn't even realize dying was an option. And then all of a sudden now I'm dying. As you progress though, you find out some of the weird rules for each of the levels. Like you have to interact things. Certain things have to interact with other things. Like you're on a bus at some point and you have to match the object to the passenger or the pet. So the little old lady needs to go in the little old lady seat, and like the drunk in the back, you have to roll the bottle of vodka to him. And eventually someone needs to get off because it's their stop. So you have to roll them and open the door using the special button and like kick them out. But not until you've got everything else, because then you might lose stuff and not be able to finish the level. Yay. And there's increasingly weird scenarios, like there's a zombie outbreak, or you're a vampire, or there's a prison break involving a cat. And then sometimes you just need to collect things by flopping around. Other times you need to be mindful you don't like trigger an alarm in prison and die. So to sum up, and I guess another thing I want to mention is the game is very disorienting at times. You're flipping this map upside down and spinning it around. You're using both controls, like the left and right stick to move the camera and the map around, and it can be really wildly disorienting.
It is only disorienting.
Yeah.
Every time I would try to do it, because you don't just move them around by sliding people and things on the ground. Sometimes you need them to go into the air to mm-hmm. hit things that are up and mm-hmm. won't come down. And you can be like, okay, so if I hold it to where the level is facing this direction, then I just move this down and it'll flip everything upside down and they'll come towards it and it'll work. The moment you start doing that, everything still shifts to a different side. So you're, instead of just tipping it straight, you're going at angles and stuff. And it's just,
yeah.
Or you can't even
see the level. And like sometimes like the only way you can get by is by having everything upside down where you can't see it. And you're hoping when you flip it back that they're going to land not in the pool where they're going to die. Or there's one level where there's like a maze and you're like a rolling knight and they use the bottom, the upside down with a tunnel to get you to the other side of the map. And it's like a weird like labyrinth. You know those like old wooden labyrinth things, but you can flip it completely upside down. And yeah, it's just very disorienting. So summing up, like it took a while to understand what was supposed to be going on in a given level because it changes all the time. And that was sometimes neat and sometimes I really didn't like that. Navigating the menu was challenging at times. Like I would want to go to the menu and it would throw me into the next level instead. And for all that, it's really short. There's only actually 15 levels, and I was unable to unlock the final level.
Well, it's Aki, $13. Are you able to give it a review?
I am. Aki, did you have any other thoughts before I throw my final thoughts?
No, you can go ahead and give your final thoughts.
All right.
I have some things to say, but they'll be with my final thoughts.
Okay, so I'd put this in the middle at a try it. If you like weird physics games, you might enjoy the novelty of it, but I struggled with the game. I found it a little too short for the price. I would say, like, wait for a sale if you're going to try it.
Hockey?
I think it's a pass. Unless you really, really, really like physics games, I can't really suggest this. It is obscenely difficult to play, and so much, like, it's one thing if it relies on skill, in which case then I think most physics people would love it. So much of this is just based on fucking luck, and that's not fun. Luck is a really sucky thing to have to rely on. So for me, it's a pass. I did not sadly enjoy my time with this at all, and this was the one game out of my games that I really thought I was going to absolutely love, and it's heartbreaking.
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
it happens though.
Also, another thing that happens is Bree streams. So what are you streaming tonight?
Sea of Thieves.
Again, as per always.
We got to get you to do something new on Thursday.
Well, Thursday's like the day that I get to play with my friends. That's just kind of been a long-standing thing that we all do. So if we all find another game we want to play together, like once in a while that happens, or we go through phases where it's just like me and one of the guys and we're playing Far Cry for a while. But yeah, for the most part, it is the all of my crew get together and we do the thing. In case we can't get together on the weekends. So
I'll enjoy sailing the high seas, and we will see you next week.
Yes, indeedy. You guys have a good one.
You have any final thoughts, final words?
Let's see. I do sort of. I am increasingly frustrated with the idea that I think I'm going to like a thing and then I don't like a thing. And that's just a sad place.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. So that's sorry. I'm the positive one and I'm just like ending that down. I know. I'm going to drive for 8 hours. Woo.
Right. Have a safe trip.
Good night. We'll do.
See ya. Next game, Slave Zero X, developed by Poppyworks, published by Ziggurat. Released February 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $24.99. From the top of Mega City S19, the Sovereign Khan rules with fists of iron and flesh. Beneath the city's rotting foundations, a vengeful warrior embarks on a journey to murder him. Jacob, what's going on in Slave Zero X?
So apparently this is a sequel to a game called Slave Zero. I've never played it before. Or even heard of it before all this, so you got me on plot, so I can't, honestly, I have nothing to compare it to. So I went into this game completely fresh, going off of, you know, screenshots that looked hella cool. And well,
this is apparently a prequel. It's 5 years prior to the events of Slave Zero.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. So it's a prequel to the events of a game I haven't played yet. Cool. So nothing got spoiled, apparently. Good to know. So Slave Zero has this plot where I don't even know how to describe the beginning, but it's just like you end up getting put into this like cybernetic suit and then you just kick awesome ass for the rest of the game. And like, and at first I was just like, oh, cool. All right. So I'm going to be getting this like kind of Castlevania ish kind of game. Nah, it's like a beat 'em up that is 2.5D. So pretty much all the environments look, so the backgrounds will look like they're in 3D. But the foreground is this like 2D kind of thing going on, which I don't know if I explained that at all well, but go online, look it up. This game is dope as hell. So anyway, so the graphics are insane, and it's just I ended up getting distracted watching the background as much as I was trying to watch the foreground, which is a little bit of an issue with this game because the enemies can pile up pretty quickly. And depending on where you're at, they can not only will the enemies on screen make it hard for you to see, but the environment, because you're dealing with a 2.5D camera, like there are times where like a column is blocking your vision and you can't, you know, there's no way to really get around it until hopefully they stop beating the crap out of your guy, or you've beaten the crap out of all them and you're able to progress further. Thankfully that doesn't happen too much, but it can annoyingly enough happen like during the worst times. But yeah, there's plenty of upgrades as you're going through this game. So more powers, more strength, like, you know, new moves that you can do to beat the shit out of these enemies. And there is some range. I mean, it's got about as much range as like a Streets of Rage kind of in terms of enemies, like your standard 90s beat 'em up. I mean, you start off with like basic like soldier grunts, but eventually you're working up to these like cyber soldier guys who are kind of built like you. But at the same time, as I said, like there's not a lot of variation. You're going to be seeing a lot of like the same characters over and over again. Boss designs are nice. But I will say some of the boss fights were surprisingly easy. And honestly, like the hulked out super soldiers who weren't bosses, there were times I was just like, why the hell didn't they just make one of these guys a boss? Like, this guy's tough as shit. And like, you know, I just had to hear like the same, like, now you die, kind of ending death animation, a million times. But yeah, this game is tough as hell, but it is so damn cool, especially if you're baked. But you didn't hear that from... Wait, actually, you did hear it from me.
We literally just heard it.
Yeah, y'all just heard it from me.
Yeah. But
I highly recommend getting baked and playing this game. It's awesome.
Oh, it's $24.99. Will it cut that much into your weed money?
Absolutely. You can smoke a little less for this game.
All right.
And then smoke a lot for this game.
It looks really good. Like I love how big,
dude. It's hyper. Like it is hyper violent. Like I love
how big the sprites and the characters are. Like a lot of beat 'em ups, they have smaller characters.
Yeah. It, honestly, they remind me of Art of Fighting, the SNK fighting games. Like how the characters would get like bigger and small. Like the the character models, they would like get bigger and smaller depending on how the camera angle was at the time. Like it reminds me a lot of that. I thought it was pretty neat.
Very cool. Also the game, the original Slave Zero was a PC and Dreamcast game from 99.
Jeez.
And it was a third person shooter. So the prequel is now a side scrolling beat 'em up. 24 years later.
I mean, hopefully they'll release the original too. That'd be cool.
It didn't review well, but we'll see. Maybe.
I mean, games not
according
reviewing
to Wikipedia.
Well, games not reviewing well doesn't stop always them from stop a
remake.
Them, as we'll find out later.
Yeah, we'll get there. Next game, Outlast Trials, developed and published by Red Barrels, released March 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $39.99. Red Barrels invites you to experience mind-numbing terror, this time with friends. Whether you go through the trials alone or in teams, if you survive long enough and complete the therapy, Murkoff will happily let you leave, but will you be the same? Aki, you check this one out, along with our friend Horror Acolyte, who wrote in a review... fairly long one, so I'm going to talk for a little bit here. Okay. Are you ready to purge yourself of your current life, to shed your past memories, emotions, and worldly possessions that bind you to this self? You will be tested, and in the face of agony, despair, and defeat, you will find perseverance and thus be born anew. Welcome to the Outlast Trials, the third installment in the Outlast series. For those unfamiliar with Outlast, the core narrative centers around the Murkoff Corporation and the devious deeds and human experimentation they perform in the shadows. Previous two entries focused on a single-player first-person horror experience with stealth-based gameplay and a slowly revealed overarching story centered around a key protagonist. In the Outlast Trials, that single-player experience shifted to focus on cooperative-based gameplay while increasing the complexity of the stealth game mechanics introduced in previous games. Outlast 1 and 2 were both set in modern times, while Trials appears to be a prequel set around 1959. You should be warned, the game is not for the faint of heart. Contains graphic violence, gore, profanity, and full nudity. A lot of the time, the profanity coming from yourself. Game starts out with...
I can verify this. I said fuck a whole lot. You? And when it says full nudity, there's full-on cock right in your face.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot.
Life imitates art.
Just right in your face. It is horrific.
So you
continue.
You had a lot of dick in your face.
So much. And it's
Ashley just walked in and she's like, what the fuck? Dick in your face. What?
It's a dick in my face.
The dick in the face. Anyway, the game starts out with the glimpse of an ad showing the Murkoff Corporation trying to lure in unsuspecting individuals who are hoping to receive financial compensation for their participation in some sort of experiment. These not-so-willing individuals are then strapped to a chair while the screams of other participants can be heard echoing in the facility. Sounds warm and cozy. You then become the not-so-fortunate owner of a new set of night vision goggles that are fastened in place by being drilled into your skull. After a brief tutorial, you are thrown into a common area of the facility with the other lucky participants, or regents as they are referred to in the game. The common area of the facility is the main hub of the game. In this area, you can begin a trial, team up with other players, visit vendors, go to your personal bedroom, or if you really want to kill the time, you can play chess or arm wrestle with another player. Your personal bedroom can be customized with a handful of cosmetic items and color schemes. The same goes for your character that is given a few customization options to start, allowing you to unlock more elaborate outfits as you progress through the game and acquire the cash to do so. Some of the unlockable cosmetics actually look pretty cool, like the retro-looking clown suits and hazmat outfits. Vendors sell various equipment and abilities that will enhance the survivability of your region, including upgrades to your rig, which is a rechargeable item you use in the trials. Once powered up, rigs become extremely helpful in the trials, offering you 1-4 options. That allow you to stun enemies, blind enemies, heal your team, or help locate enemies. The game allows for crossplay across all platforms and is always online, meaning there should consistently be other players in the common area to keep you company. There is a monitor in the common area to select the trial you wish to participate in, either alone or in a party with friends or random teammates. The goal of the game is to complete trials until you gain enough reward tokens. Buy your way into a final solo trial and earn your escape from the Murkoff facility. Once you've escaped the final solo trial with a regent, you'll still maintain all your progress and unlocks from that character. There are 3 difficulty tiers for the trials, the first of which is playable by your initial regent. The other 2 can only be accessed by escaping with 1 and 3 respectively. In the first tier, there is only 1 available to start, but more unlocked as you pass each trial. Aki, any thoughts so far?
Yeah, in order to, as stated, you have to earn these tokens in order to earn your ability to escape. For this, every time you beat one of the levels, you get 1 token, and you need 20 of them. If you also get ranked in these at the end, and it's based on, oh, did you set off traps? Were you damaged? Did you lose any sanity, et cetera, et cetera, which all affect your score. If you get an A+, you get 2 tokens instead of 1, and you can go back and replay them to get an A+ if you want to get that extra token. Once you have 20, then you can play that solo thing and get out.
Gotcha.
Well, I don't know if it keeps all of your prior scores or not, because I haven't actually gotten to the 20 tokens required. I'm at like 18.
You said you poured like, what, 15 hours in this game over the weekend?
That was just playing co-op. I've probably put 20, 24 hours, something like that in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we played through most of the first set of trials. As stated, there's 3 of them. We played through most of the first one, not all of it, but most of it.
Gotcha. Well, I will continue on with this. In the trials, you'll be presented with a series of challenges that will mostly involve searching for key items, solving minor puzzles, or successfully completing quick time events. We'll end with you making your escape from the area. Unfortunately for some NPCs, these objectives center around having them brutally executed through such means as dismemberment or electrocution. Yay. There are a few decorative...
Or one of my favorite ones, there's a lot of meat grinders.
There's a few decorative themes used for the trials, each featuring a core antagonist that fits the particular theme, accompanied by several supporting enemies. Some of these areas include a police station, orphanage, and abandoned amusement park. The first major psychopath you encounter is Coyle, a hillbilly police officer that patrols the police station wielding an electric baton. Hearing the crackle of electricity from the baton or seeing its current light up in the darkness really adds to the authenticity of the experience. There isn't too much variance among the abilities of the enemies you'll face, even among the core antagonists, but some enemies will be able to occupy your hiding spots or even see in the dark. There are some enemies that will periodically spawn in through white doors on the map, adding temporary randomization to enemy patterns. In order to succeed, you'll need to stealthily make your way through the levels, trying to remain unseen and unheard as you best can. There's no ways to completely dispose of your enemies, only stun and distract them. Failing that, your only options are running and hiding. Most enemies follow semi-formulaic movement patterns, so you could get the idea of the routes they'll take through levels. This allows you to strategically hide in the darkness to remain unseen or within objects scattered throughout the level, such as cabinets or barrels. Are they red barrels?
Some of them are actually are.
Because the game company name.
Huh.
A significant portion of the levels are shrouded in darkness. Fortunately, you have night vision goggles bolted to your fucking face to give you fairly good visibility. Unfortunately, I took some liberty with that line. Unfortunately, the goggles have limited charge, which drains rather quickly. When the charge is fully depleted, you will have darkness visibility limited to what is directly in front of you, making navigation possible, but less than ideal. Scattered throughout each area, you can find items to aid in your mission, such as healing drinks, bricks, or batteries to recharge your goggles. If you happen to be seen, aside from running, you can also stun your enemies with a stun rig or brick, or use a blinding rig to obstruct their vision. Using items to temporarily disable your pursuers may prove necessary, as you have a limited amount of stamina to run with before you need to stop and let it replenish. If caught by an enemy, your health will be damaged, or in the case of the doctor enemy type, you'll be given an unhealthy dose of hallucinogenic gas that will deplete your sanity and put you under psychosis. Did you get hit with this one?
Oh, I got hit with this constantly. I was really bad at this. Because not only is there the doctor, there's also traps that will do it if you walk too close to them. And I have a lot of trouble seeing any of the traps.
Oh, man.
I have set off so many of them. Like, you can find items throughout levels, too. Like, little like health boxes that you can open and get health potions out of.
Yeah.
And a lot of things like that are also fucking trapped. So when you open it, and if you're standing there grabbing something out of there or using the item out of there, it'll set off a psychosis, a trap, and take away some of your sanity. And I get hit by those all the fucking time.
Well, in a state of psychosis, you will begin to hallucinate. Your vision will become distorted, and you will be constantly pursued by an enemy known as the Skinner Man until you find an antidote to remedy this affliction. Enemies aren't your only threat. You'll find various traps littering the area, like you mentioned, including electrical, explosive sound, and gas traps that lower your sanity. Opening a door to hear a duck explosive trap begin to activate, or walking through a broken glass sounding trap alerting enemies can instantly fill you with panic. Don't let all of this sound daunting. The trials may sound overly punishing, but I assure you there is hope. Upon the completion of each trial, you will gain experience points that will help increase your therapy level, giving you the ability to purchase enhancements from vendors, along with reward tokens that buy your freedom and cash for cosmetic items. Failure of a trial will also grant experience, but at a reduced rate. Each trial completion yields a letter grade determined by your performance. An A-plus grade can result in extra XP gain, additional vendor tickets, more reward tokens, or cosmetic items. There's little room for error. More than a handful of mistakes will usually result in your grade being lowered. If you repeat a trial, the map layout will stay the same, but some of the placement of traps, items, and locked doors will vary. Admittedly, when this game was announced, I was extremely skeptical. Two of the core features that made the original Outlast game so great were the sense of helplessness from not being able to defend yourself and the feeling of isolation knowing no one else could save you from your torment. Outlast Trials definitely loses the intensity of those features when playing in co-op. Even playing solo, the feeling is diluted a fair amount. That being said, it's still an excellent experience for horror fans, especially playing on co-op. While playing solo is still a viable option, there are some sections of the game that may prove difficult for those not familiar with stealth games. Communication among teammates helps significantly in many instances and just makes the experience more enjoyable as a whole. Helping each other call out enemies, coordinate maneuvers, and using divide and conquer tactics for searching out objectives makes for very satisfying trial completions. Some of the most enjoyable and frustrating times in the game are devising a plan to overcome a section and have that plan completely turned to shit, which will happen a decent amount.
So much. So often. Constantly.
There was one instance in particular in which a plan derailed and I ran into several traps, including a metal bolt that pinned me to the ground. Swiftly recovering from that folly, I aimed to seek refuge in a nearby locker, only to be greeted by a pouncer jumping out at me aggressively, using its claws to mutilate my torso. Surprisingly fun, but frustrating.
Yeah, I remember that. There was a lot of expletives.
You were playing when that happened?
Yeah, we were playing together when that happened. I sadly did not see it because I was way across the map, but I heard all the expletives, and it was fantastic. That's the first time. That matter of fact, they did that right after I had a very similar experience on the prior level. I had the shit kicked out of me in one level, and then immediately afterwards, he got the shit kicked out of him in that level. It was great.
Very nice. There are some useful accessibility features for your main HUD, allowing you to customize which stats appear on your screen, along with a marker that indicates whether you are fully concealed by darkness. The sound design and audio cues in this game are exceptional. Strongly recommend playing with a headset as it's substantially easier to pinpoint enemy locations. Hearing the enemies mutter phrases to themselves as they are hunting you is both daunting at times and hilarious. Did find the soundtrack to be a little disappointing compared to previous games, but it's understandable given the game's structure. App design and character visuals were well done. I'm not overly knowledgeable of the 50s-60s aesthetic, but I found the environments to be pretty good at replicating locales from that time period. Even though the enemy design is solid, there are some people that may be uncomfortable with the amount of nudity, but to be fair, the Outlast games are meant to make you uncomfortable. I feel like there could have been more core antagonists and themed maps to go with them, but I'm assuming more will come as DLC in the future. Sadly, the narrative is slightly lacking, with most story elements being fed through collectible, readable evidence pieces found in the trials. The game has what I consider ideal achievement design. All Xbox achievements are tied to an in-game badge that grants you bonus experience when obtained. That's cool as hell.
Yeah. First, I'll touch on the evidence things. The story... there's little pieces of evidence, which are just, you know, file folders that you can find throughout the levels. Usually there's like three of them in every level. At least that's what I've noticed. There could be more and we could just be blinder than bats. Very possible because both of us are blind. So, you know, great. And when you find them, it adds a piece of evidence at random into your evidence locker, basically. And each section in there has like 8 pieces of evidence is required to have it finished. And you get random ones. Like you can play the first level and get one for the first one, one for the 8th one, one for the 20th one. You don't know. However, if you're like, I don't want to keep looking through these, through all these levels, you can just play the first level over and over and over again. Just keep collecting 3 of them because it'll always be a new 3 of them every time. As we found out, thankfully. So the story from that is very subpar, sadly. So the story just is not a big thing in this game, sadly. It's more about you're here, you're being experimented on, you need to get the fuck out. That's basically the entirety of the story. You need to know all the evidence,
What more do you need? Like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, like, all the evidence is basically just evidence of Markov doing bad shit, so you could theoretically get that, and when you leave, have that to give to the news or whatever.
Yeah.
As for achievements, yes. In the game, it will tell you when you get a badge.
And some of them are like, oh, you are crouched for 3,600 seconds. So you get a badge for that. And the moment you get the badge, you also get the achievement for it. And after you beat the trial, you can go into the terminal again, which is where you view your evidence. You can select a level, get a group together, what have you, all that stuff. You can also view all your badges, and you can look at the badge. It'll tell you how many times you've obtained that badge. And once you get it for the first time, it will give you extra experience, extra money, and sometimes a cosmetic to go with it that it unlocks in your cosmetic area. However, you don't have access to it immediately. You still have to pay for it, but now you can buy it.
Yeah,
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I've thoroughly enjoyed that concept.
Well, let's talk verdict. It's been a hefty review. Let's get to the verdict. If you are a fan of previous Outlast games or stealth horror games in general, this is a strong buy it from me. What the game lacks in narrative and atmosphere elements compared to previous entries, it makes up for in stronger stealth gameplay dynamics and engaging multiplayer. You're only looking to play this solo. While that experience is still fun in my option, I would maybe lower my verdict to a buy it, but wait for a sale. The Murkoff Corporation welcomes you. Let the trials begin. Aki, any thoughts?
I actually came into this with the expectation that I'd absolutely hate this game because I don't like the Outlast games. I think they're just kind of shit. But I really liked this game. I was thoroughly surprised. The stealth mechanics in this are really good. It has a very creepy, quite possibly scary atmosphere even while playing it. And when you first start, you might fear pee. I had to go bathroom like three different times on our first night playing this because there were so many things that you just don't understand everything that's happening. And then it happens and you're like, oh shit. There's not really any time to react. You're just kind of fucked at the moment. But once you've seen it all, it just becomes tense instead of scary. So I thoroughly enjoy this game. I thought it was really fun. I think it's totally a buy it if you have friends to play it with. I don't think it's a very good solo game at all. It is made to be played with multiple people. And the more people you have, the harder it does become. Because in each of you get your own individual grade, and then you also get a grade as a group. So it's harder to get a good grade that way. However, there are a lot of situations where you really need multiple people, or you might be running around circles for a long time trying to get the same thing done. So if you have a bunch of people and you like stealth, totally buy this. If you're like, I don't have anyone who will play this with me, you might want to take a pass on it just because solo just isn't very fun.
Sounds good. And it gave you a new appreciation for dicks.
No, it really did not.
Jacob, what do you think of that?
Hate for them.
About what?
Her appreciation for dicks.
I mean, how could she not approve of a good veiny dick?
Jacob is never going to dick you up.
Or dick you never gonna down. Dick.
And for anyone who's like, oh, so it's just a bunch of dicks, there's also a whole lot of titties in this, okay?
Titties!
So many.
Titties! Tits and dicks.
Yep.
That's a buy it, folks. Tits and dicks, it's a buy it. Next game to talk about, Abyss, Build to Destroy, developed by Brandwork Games, published by Astragon Entertainment, released March 7th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Build structures from parts and let them crash into your targets. Unlock new parts, destroy more. Witness entropy at its worst in digital brutalist cityscapes. Build to Destroy. Jacob, what is Abyss?
So... Man, our Jewish listeners are going nuts right now. oh, my God.
We were just talking about wieners.
I know. Like, and now we're talking about knocking things down, like with, single column, creation.
Anyway, what's the game?
So Abyss is... a mixture of a puzzle game, although you're probably going to end up more so in the sandbox area anyway. Abyss is a game where you build. They're not exactly buildings, because sometimes you're working with like trailers and stuff like that, and just random storage cubes. But you're making all these creations so you can destroy the adjacent building. And so what happens is that in this game, you're given certain pieces. Like, think of it like kind of like they're a bunch of like Tetris pieces. And some of them have certain abilities, like they can connect like one storage container to another one. Like that way they're actually like connected together instead of just being balanced on top of each other, which, believe it or not, is actually going to play a huge factor in like 30 seconds. And so you have just this variety of stuff, and you have to figure out how you're going to be able to stretch it across the chasm and knock out as much of this red energy out of the buildings across from you as it possibly can. And then at the end of each puzzle, you're graded on it. In the, like, because it's not like a campaign mode, but it, you know, it's just a series of puzzles of you know, how can I destroy this with the tools that I'm given? And that's okay. I mean, the game, I'm not going to lie, this game feels like it's more fun on a PC using like a mouse and keyboard. I feel like it's probably a lot easier to navigate than using an Xbox controller. But the camera is also very wonky, and so you have to use both sticks to direct zooming in and out and rotating, which, I mean, generally seems like that should be a standard thing, especially with how much you're playing with first-person shooters, but it just never, like, I spent more time finagling with the camera, like, so I could get a good look at what I was trying to build than actually building the stuff, which honestly was a pretty disappointing thing with this game. Because when you're destroying stuff, it's great watching like the gray building fall apart and waiting to see what your score is. Like if you destroyed all of the matter and you made the entire building collapse. But yeah, as I said, you're going to spend more of your time in the sandboxing, which is really just all of the game's assets, and you could just build your crap as high as you want, and just watch everything go to hell.
I love their description of sandbox. It says, try out new patterns of building stuff, play around with parts you haven't unlocked yet, or try to fry your GPU with 1,000 lasers at once.
Yeah.
I love the write-up for this. They have, like, when you have some humor and wit in your write-up, you're already earning bonus points with me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the game makes no bones about, like, what it is. Like, you're building shit to destroy.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you like that kind of sandbox, but also, oddly, a puzzle at the same time, like, it's definitely a there's potential for fun. But the controls, like the wonky controls and the camera that never satisfactorily shows me what I want to look at.
Yeah.
It ends up making it a try it. Although, honestly, as I said, I feel like this is way better on PC.
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, if it's on sale, give it a shot.
Well, it's $20. What's your verdict?
With my experience with it, I would say wait for a sale, but, you know, $20 though for PC, I feel like this game works a lot better on it. I would recommend checking it out at $20. Yeah.
Sounds good. Steam, it is $19.99 on Steam. It also has a soundtrack available on Steam. You could get the bundle for $21.23.
That's
for a weird ass price.
Yeah.
Next game, Welcome to Paradise with a Z. You'll see why. Developed by Echo Software, published by Nacon, released February 29th on Series X and S and PS5 for $39.99, PC $29.99. Paradise isn't exactly what you hope for. It's infested with zombies. See that Z I was talking about. Thankfully, you can control them, capture them, and teach them to farm or fight. They'll help you defend our camp while you explore the world looking for a new paradise. Aki, how is Paradise?
This one, I was originally questioning whether I was going to like it. I like it. In this, you get to choose your own character out of, I think, 8 or 10 different characters. And you start off being told, hey, yeah, there's a paradise here in zombie-infested Earth. come here where we actually control zombies and they work for us and you get to live a nice, happy life. Well, they'll protect you, they'll do doctor things, they'll take care of your cars, they'll babysit, whatever. Free labor. It's fantastic. Woo! So you head there because, you know, a better life behind walls where zombies will protect you instead of eating you. And it's a shithole. Everything's broken down. There's next to no one living there. Half the buildings are just painted cardboard. It's not doing too well. And you're told, hey, yeah, you need to have one of these headsets so you can take and slap them on zombies and have your own minions. That's the only way you're allowed to live in this town with heavy quotation marks because there's not very many actual buildings in this town. It's, again, painted cardboard. So you go do that, and you catch your first zombie. Woo! After that, you have to kill the shit out of a bunch of zombies. There are some special zombies that have different armor on them or weapons, and after you kill them, you can take their weapon and use it yourself, and even give a copy of it, even though you only picked up one, doesn't matter, to your zombie, and they will start using it to defend you. With the special armors, usually you have to kill a bunch of zombies who have that armor, and then you can pick, and as you pick them up, you eventually unlock the ability to equip your zombie with that same thing. You have both ranged and melee combat weapons. From air guns to classic guns, bows and arrows, crossbows, thrown spears, to melee weapons like maces and bladed weapons like machetes. You are basically just trying to survive this hellhole and help the other inhabitants of this little shithole find their little piece of happiness. Whilst you eventually, pretty quickly actually, figure out, let's just go to the moon, because fuck this place. Because again, half of it is painted cardboard. So you're going to take off to the moon, where apparently where most of the rest of the planet already went, and I guess you were just one of the unlucky schmucks who weren't rich. I don't know. They don't explain it. So you have to build your own rocket. And that's what the game is all about right there. You use your zombie to kill other zombies. And here's the thing. You really need that zombie to kill them because you are a squishy bitch. you do not get passive health regeneration or anything. No, 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 no. You have a certain amount of health. Every time a zombie hits you, you lose it. You don't get it back until you waste a health kit. So just send your zombie forward. Because if it dies, well, as long as you have another helmet, you can just slap it onto an unconscious or semi-dead zombie and they become that unit and you can send them out to go fight and die for you some more. So who cares about their health? as you play through this, you'll find a ton of different weaponry. You'll be able to build your own base as well as different other buildings, some of them to get energy. Like, all of which actually require the zombies to power, which is really funny. So, like, one of them is, like, oh, you have to find wood to burn to create energy.
So you create this thing where all the wood is burned, and then you create this little pylon, which allows you to create one of three different types of zombies that you can equip with whatever. And I don't know if there's a limit to how many of them you can even summon of all three of them, as long as you have the energy to power them anyways. And basically they'll go around and pick up the firewood and put it into this pylon, which will automatically send it to the wood burning generator. And all the different generators that you get are powered in similar ways by zombies working for free. It's great. You can build the fences as you get further into the game for your base, because zombies will occasionally come in and just damage all your shit if you don't have defenses set up. They start off pretty basic. Here's some walls. Zombies will eventually break through them, but it gives you time to beat the shit out of the zombies from behind. To, you know, eventually you'll get stuff like, hey, let's set everything on fire and watch the motherfuckers burn. Woo! So, yeah. And throughout this, you're killing things and having your zombies kill things and traps kill these things, and that gives you experience to level up. And there are three different trees that you get to level up in. There's a zombie one where basically you're just increasing your zombie survivability and damage output, things like that. There's one that's basically you doing damage. So there's different parts of it that are like, oh, hey, I do more damage with melee, or hey, I do more damage with guns, and here's other perks related to melee or weapons. And then there's your survivability, where it's like, oh, you can run longer now. You have more stamina, you have more health, so on and so forth. And you get to level up quite a bit. I think I'm at like level 41 or 43 right now.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, there's an achievement for reaching max level, and I haven't gotten there yet. I kind of figured 40 would be it, and it's not.
Maybe 50?
I don't think so. I think there's an area that goes up to 55, so I think it's at least 60. And it may be more than that even. I don't know. I haven't finished the game yet.
It seems like you're having a good time with it.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this. And it's not a super long game if you don't want it to be, because I'm doing a lot of things that aren't necessary to beat the game because I'm just trying to get achievements or complete collections and stuff like that, because you can find armors in the game and different chests in different locations. Like this set of locations will have this armor set and just this armor set. However, each chest in that area will have a random piece of armor in it for that set. So you might get like four left arm pieces out of six chests or something, and there's five different pieces to the armor. So, well, you just got four of the same fucking piece. Well, that ain't very useful. So you have to throw three of them away, keep one, because that'll be useful to complete the fucking set. And then you have to wait for, I don't know what causes them to reset, but eventually they do reset, so you can go through and hopefully find the rest of them. I'm missing some pieces, and it's driving me out of my fucking mind, because I've gone through the area so many times now, and I've not found those pieces. But, I've spent a little longer in the game than you necessarily have to. I went through, like, the first three chapters in, like, just a few hours. So you can probably beat the game, not 100% it, but you can probably beat it in, like, 10-ish hours, if that.
It's not
a super long game. It's just, if you want all the achievements, you end up doing a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, one of the achievements is for killing like either 10,000 or 100,000 zombies or some shit like that.
Oh, Lord.
Which is, it's a lot. And I'm not even a quarter way through that one, so that's going to take a while. It's really fun. You'll find weapons that you like, and you won't stick with them because eventually other weapons will get upgrades and will do significantly more damage, and then you have to use those until you can get that weapon again. Here comes a train, because of course, why wouldn't there be a train?
Choo-choo, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, before the train gets there, the game clocks in at $30. What are your thoughts on it?
I think this is totally a buy it. I did not expect to like this because I thought it was going to have a whole bunch of survival mechanics. It doesn't. It has a are you too hot or too cold mechanic. And that only affects you if you're in like the desert area or the snowy hellhole. And that's it. So it's like, I am so for this game. It is great. And I think, Joe, I think you will really like this game.
Cool. Very good. One last game to talk about tonight.
Can we really call it a game?
Well, I know what we're going to call it for sure. This segment.
SML After Dark.
That's right. We got one last game to talk about. Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, Definitive Edition. Developed by United Pictures, published by Limited Run Games. I don't know whose soul they sold to get this one, but released March 5th on Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Greed, lust, spirituality, white-knuckle chases, shameful propositions, a nun, humor, true love, jaded love, jealousy, hot action, comedy, a bad guy, a good guy, a hero, spine-tingling suspense, a hot babe, brazen bravado, a damsel in distress, and a Hollywood ending. Jacob, what is Plumbers Don't Wear Ties?
Was that seriously the fucking description?
Yes. There's more to it. I could read more if you want me to.
Oh, no.
Plumb the depths in the definitive edition of this lost classic.
Stop. Stop. Stop.
Painstakingly restored and lovingly recreated for the first time since 1993 original version.
I want to talk about this game.
It's in 4K.
Why is this review as bad as the game? what did I do to be trapped in this hell?
You said, that looks interesting. And then I emailed.
That'll fucking teach you.
Yeah, I will. So tell us, what is Plumbers Don't Wear Ties Definitive Edition?
Oh, God. All right. So first off, it's kind of weird that I'm finally doing an SML After Dark. I've never done one of these, so hooray. I'm going to warn you right now, this is like one of the least sexy games I've ever played. And also, I will give a content like trigger warning for this. There is some so Limited Run Games actually does take the time to have a, hey, this is a product of a very different time, like these views weren't okay then, they're not okay now, like we're doing this for video game preservation, so on and so forth. There are anti-gay, and there is a joke about a trans person in there, along with the suggestions of sexual assault. So just as a heads up,
content warning.
Before you get into this game. Now, if you were hoping for, you know, super sexy fun, that's really not anywhere to be found in this thing. Plumbers Don't Wear Ties acts like it's going to be a full motion video game, and in all reality, it is more like a visual novel as we know it. If your visual novel was literally a PowerPoint presentation. And so there's a video at the beginning, and then the rest of it, you are just looking at pictures with music that plays way too long because the pictures don't change quick enough, and really bad voice acting from everybody. And on top of it, you're dealing with these narrators who are supposed to like break up the monotony and like yell at you for making the wrong decisions. All right. None of this is good. If you haven't already picked that up, none of this game is good.
We should point out the reason this game is famous is because I believe the Angry Video Game Nerd, is that who it was who covered it?
He covered it at some point. I did see that on Wikipedia. And the thing is like, I think I may have heard of this game, but like I knew literally nothing about it.
It was a Panasonic 3DO game. So let's get our expectations where they deserve to be.
Right. And so, as I said, this thing is more of a PowerPoint presentation than anything, and you are guiding the character's actions. You have this guy who is a plumber, and his mom is nagging him to like find a nice girl and get married and settle down and stuff like that. And then you have this girl who's applying for a new job, and she's going to interview, and the two of them run into the parking lot, run into each other in the parking lot, and you have to determine the rest of the game how it's going to go. Both, like, so you're making decisions like, does he talk to her, does she talk to him, at the interview, like, the boss is suggesting, like, oh, why don't you take off your shirt, you know, do you take off your shirt, like, do you run out of there, do you become a weird S&M mistress to this guy? These are all possibilities. And yeah, like the game sounds like it could be interesting. And then you actually fucking play it. And it is so slow and so bad and just so awful throughout. And the thing is like, yeah, theoretically you're sitting through a movie. Like this is an interactive movie. Yeah. No, it's just a PowerPoint presentation that you guys stretched out for 90 minutes.
How are the achievements?
Oh my God, they're all over the goddamn place. And the thing is that you actually have to play the game through once without skipping to get the achievement for, you know, having played the game. Like, there is no easy way around it. You cannot skip frames. Like, the game won't let you skip frames the first time through. And so you have to experience the awfulness of this game if you expect to 1K it. And then the rest of it is just a bunch of documentaries and cutscenes and interviews, both with people from Limited Run Games, but also people who made the game. There's even like audio commentary that you can get.
Is that stuff interesting?
Yeah, it actually is. Because, I mean, you have people talking about, like, you know, what it was like doing this. What do they think of it? But at the same time, you also have folks from Limited Run Games explaining, like, the restoration process and why, and, like, their thoughts on, like, why preserving such an absolute shitty fucking game. Why is this important to preserve this along the likes of like Pac-Man and Call of Duty? And
Ernest it's pointing one of those out a 69 pointer achievement called But Why?
It's
could we just read some of the achievement values in the game? Let's see.
Absolutely.
2, go for it. 81, 22, 36, 38.
Three. Fuck this game.
71.
Fuck everything about this.
17, 52, 4, 9, 46, 69, 113, 1, 39, 37, 11, 107, 43, and 199.
This just provokes so much fucking anxiety in me, and it's not even a good enough game to be... Oh, I hate
so
this.
Jacob, it's $20. Let's get this out of the way. The game is not worth buying.
Hold on. I'm still not... I still have more to talk about. So one of the cool things is that you can... if you want to unlock like all of that like documentary stuff, there's a mini game that you can play that is a 3D maze game. And Sorry. Yeah, and it's just like you have to run away from the boss and throw plungers at him, and you get all the cash that you earned while playing the actual game. You get to use in here, and that's how you buy all the documentaries. And I'm not gonna lie, like, I appreciate them making this because it certainly broke up the monotony of having to sit through that fucking game. Like, there's just like the features are totally worth it. Like, you can even read like the original script in the game's files and stuff like that. And it's just really cool, like, that they did this. Yeah. Also, side note, like, the amount of like love and just like the in terms of like the extras, like, this is the kind of stuff I wish that they had also included with Jurassic Park, that Jurassic Park collection that they had released last year. Like, that thing was bare bones. Meanwhile, this thing has a plethora of stuff. Like, I would have loved the same attention had been given to that title. But anyways, back to Plumbers Don't Wear Ties Remastered. Or yeah, Definitive Edition, is, my bad.
It is a $20 game. We should get this out of the way. It's not worth buying for the game. Is it worth buying for the package?
So here's the thing. Is it worth buying it for the game itself? Absolutely fucking not. But when you are spending that $20 on this game, you're helping Limited Run Games like continue being able to provide stuff like this, like, you know, the Jurassic Park collection, like Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, like all those cool like games which are modern games that like receive like a Nintendo like 64 cartridge now, or like a NES cartridge, like all that kind of weird stuff like that helps fund it. And it's just like, don't purchase it for the game. Purchase it for helping video game preservation.
Yeah. And purchase it because Limited Run released something on Xbox.
Oh,
support,
yeah.
Support that too. Shit. Yeah. Come on, Limited Run. Give us more. They don't Please have to do. Be physical. They don't have to be physical editions.
I just ask that they be good next time. That's all.
No, I'll take the shitty stuff, too. I'll take everything. Give us more games. Gotta take the good with the bad.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is that there are plenty of like older games I'd love to have brought back, and
yeah,
if this is what it takes, okay.
Speaking of bad, we have to end the show on a very low note. First off, I want to thank you two for being here, hanging out for the show. Thanks to Bree for coming on, doing her thing. Thanks to Horror Acolyte for writing in that Outlast Trials review. Sad news, Akira Toriyama passed away at 68.
I've been trying to verify that.
From what I see, it's been confirmed by the Dragon Ball account, official English Dragon Ball account.
I saw
it was a subdural hematoma.
Yeah, no, I saw that, but when I went to the actual Twitter account, I was not seeing the post.
I'm not too sure if then it's spreading. Either it's official or.
Yeah,
from what, like, I could see, it's official.
And, the other thing is, the thing is, the other thing is that it's just like the industry trades haven't reported it.
No.
So that's why I'm also like pausing, because I was originally going to say, I was going to say something, but I couldn't confirm it. And everything that I could find it on is clickbaity, so I held off.
Everything I'm reading is confirming it, that Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball and designer of characters from like Chrono Trigger and Dragon Quest, has passed away at 68. To celebrate the life of him, we are going to end the show with Rockin' on Heaven's Door by Danimal Cannon, off of the Chrono Torius album by 1UP Studios. It is possibly my all-time favorite video game cover. It is just incredible. So, anyone have any final words?
No.
Well, rest well.